All right. Well, here we are again, back in John. How about that? If you will, turn your Bibles to John chapter 2. John chapter 2, and we're going to read half the chapter. It says, "The third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto his servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and the disciples believed on him. After this he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother, and his brethren, and his disciples, and he continued there not many days." Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for another day. We're thankful for your word that's always true. Lord, we just ask you to bless this morning. We ask you to give us wisdom as we open up the scriptures, that you'd show us your will, that you'd teach us many things out of your word. Lord, that'd be a glory to your name. And we give you praise and honor this day in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Question time. Who remembers the key to the book of John? Anybody? All right. John chapter 20 and verse 30 and 31. "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name." Here's the key to the whole book. Here's the answer. Here's your answer to interpretation. Here's your answer to all the problems in the Gospel of John. All right? These are written. What? All the signs and everything that's written in the Gospel of John, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you might have life through his name. Okay? So we've already gone through one chapter. We've shown you that Jesus Christ is God, completely God, and he's also man, completely man. We've shown you that people have to receive him. The nation of Israel had rejected Jesus Christ, but as many as received him, to them gave him the power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name. We showed you some of the disciples that followed Jesus. They left everything they had to follow Jesus and go and let other people know about the light, know about the way which Jesus Christ was. And here today we have Jesus Christ performing his first miracle. Notice your will in verse 11. It says, "This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee." This is one of the first miracles that Jesus did. Let me tell you something. When Jesus was a child, he didn't go around splitting, mud puddles. He didn't go around casting the water out. He didn't go around jumping on his friends and saying the demons had to come out of you. He didn't go around, he didn't have any water or milkshake, and say, let there be milkshake. Jesus didn't go around doing that as a child. All right? Now, some people teach that Jesus did miracles as a child. He found himself in a bind and he just spoke the word and he got out of it. It just isn't so. All right? Here's the beginning of miracles. Okay. Another thing, before we begin on the miracle itself, I just want to point out a few things to you. One, notice that the mother of Jesus was there at the wedding. Verse 1. Notice also that when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said to them, they have no wine. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Now there's a religion that teaches you're to worship Mary and you're to pray to Mary, and Mary has become somebody holy and somebody to look up to and somebody to pray to. It's just not so. Mary is not the Queen of Heaven. Mary is not someone that we pray to. Mary is a woman that bore the Christ child, yes. Mary is a blessed woman. Yes, that's true. Mary is blessed. Because you can't name me another woman in the world since God created man and woman. You can't name me one woman that bore the child Jesus. Only Mary did. So in that, Mary was blessed because she was the only woman that had the opportunity to bear the child. She was the one that God had appointed. In that, she's blessed. Mary is not holy. Mary is not perfectly flawless. Mary is a sinner just like you and I. Jesus did not bow down to her. Jesus did not worship her. In fact, Jesus put in her place saying, Woman, what have I to do with thee? He wasn't showing disrespect. He was just putting his mother in her place. You see, people teach you that the way you get answered prayers, you go to the mother of God. You go to Mary, supposedly the mother of God. And surely Jesus will answer his mother's request. It's just not so. We have one meter between man and God, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ, the only meter. He's the only one we pray to. He's the only one we go to. Okay? Now let me show you something. And you will look in Luke chapter 2. I want to show you that Mary was a sinner, just like every one of us. All of us are sinners. The Bible says, for all of us sin to come short of the glory of God. That's everybody. In Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 21, it says, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named to the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. This is talking about Mary. Can you see that? You realize it's talking about Mary. Mary had to wait her time for purification, which was 33 days. Okay? Look in Leviticus chapter 12. I'm going to show you exactly what was going on. In Leviticus chapter 12, I'll read the whole chapter. It deals with just exactly what Mary had to do after she bore the child Jesus. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a woman have conceived seed and born a man-child, then shall she be unclean 7 days. According to the days of the separation for her infirmity, she shall be unclean. And in the 8th day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. And she shall then continue in the blood of her purifying 33 days. That's 33 days. Alright? She shall touch no hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purifying be fulfilled. But if she bear a maid child, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks, as in her separation, and she shall continue in the blood of her purifying 66 days, 66 days, twice the amount of a boy child. And when the days of her purifying are fulfilled for a son or for a daughter, she shall bring a lamb of the first year for a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove for a sin offering, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation unto the priest, who shall offer it before the Lord and make an atonement for her, and she shall be cleansed from the issue of her blood. This is the law of her that hath born a male or a female. And if she be not be able to bring a lamb, then she shall bring two turtles or two young pigeons, the one for the burnt offering, the other for a sin offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for her, and she shall be clean. What did Mary bring? A pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Why? Because she had to sacrifice, she had to have an atonement for her sin. She had to be saved just like everybody else did. Under the law, they had to bring their sacrifice that God would not judge them. And that sacrifice only stayed their judgment for another short period of time, whether it be a year or until the next feast or the next sacrifice. Alright? But when a woman had a child, she had to bring the animal, the lamb, or the turtle doves, or whatever was set forth, or whatever she was capable of purchasing or owning, to bring them down and offer as a sacrifice to atone for her sin, and she had to go through a period of purification. And I want you to know that Mary had to go through it, and Mary is not sinless or flawless as some people teach. Mary is a sinner. Now I'm not saying that Mary is a greater sinner than you and I. We're all guilty of sin. We all deserve hell. We all deserve judgment. But what I'm trying to say is that Mary is not somebody that needs to be worshipped. It's never commanded in the Word of God to be worshipped. Mary, the only way that she was blessed above another woman was she bore Jesus Christ. She's the only one. Alright? Notice also, back in John chapter 2, the same religion teaches that Mary was a perpetual virgin, that she never had other children. Well, if you notice, in verse 12, it says, after this he went down into Capernaum, Jesus, and his mother, and his brethren, and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. I want you to know that Jesus Christ had brothers and sisters of Mary. Now, religious teach that's not so. But again, let God be true and every man a liar. I just want to show you the Word of God. Some people will tell you, well, that's speaking of like a brothers in Christ. His brothers in Christ. That's what it's talking about. No. You see, why didn't it include the disciples? Why didn't you say, and the brethren went with him? Why didn't it say the brethren and his disciples? But if that's not clear enough for you, look in Mark chapter 6 and verse 3. I'll read verse 2 first. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, and of Joseph, and of Judah, and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. You can't get any clearer than that. He names the brothers of Christ and doesn't name the sisters. It's pretty clear. It's pretty clear. Look at your will in Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse 46. Like I was saying, some people teach, they'll say, Well, the brethren is referring to the brothers in Christ. When it talks about the brethren of Jesus or the brothers or sisters of Jesus, just referring to like Jim and I are brothers, or Brother Kincaid and I are brothers, or Dan and I are brothers, or you and I are sisters in the Lord. Brothers and sisters in the Lord. Well, let me ask you something. Where did this teaching come from? Where did we find out that we're brothers in Christ? It's found right here in Matthew chapter 12. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Let me just give you a picture of what's going on. Jesus and his disciples are around about Jesus, and the multitudes gathered around him. Jesus is speaking unto them and teaching them many things. All of a sudden, his mother and his brothers and sisters come up, and they want to talk to Jesus, but they can't get to him because of the crowd. All right? That's what it says. Brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, somebody standing there next to Jesus says, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered, Jesus answered, and said unto him, that told him, who is my mother, and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hands towards the disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my mother, my sister, my brother, my sister, my mother. Here is a teaching where we become brothers and sisters in Christ. Those that do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother, my sister, and my mother. All right? Here's the first time they've ever been taught that you're brothers and sisters. Here's the first time that each of us are mother unto one another, or each of us are brother unto one another. But his physical mother and his brethren were outside, desiring to come in. So Jesus did have brothers and sisters. Mary did have other children by Joseph. All right? I just want to make that clear, that Mary is not someone that we worship. Mary is not someone we pray to. And that Mary is a human being just like you and I. Okay? Knows that Jesus says, woman, what have I to do with thee? It wasn't the first time that Jesus said this. He said it before. And more likely, he'll say it again. But let's go back to the story. What happens? We find that Jesus is invited to a marriage. Let's talk about this for a minute. Have you invited Jesus to your marriage? Have you invited Jesus to your marriage? Multitudes of people around the world, they don't want Jesus coming into their marriage. They don't want nothing to do with Jesus Christ. They don't want Jesus Christ to rule in their home. They don't want to set up the way that Jesus would have to be set up. I mean, women, they want to take the authority. They want to rule over the man. They want to tell their husband what to do. They want to have control. And yet the Bible says the man is the head of the house and the wives are to submit unto him. And the husbands are to love their wives as Christ in the church. You and I need to put Jesus in our marriage. We need to invite him to our marriage. We need to put him first. And if you're thinking about marriage, getting married, you need to invite Jesus to your marriage. You need to make sure you marry a godly man if you're a Christian. You need to marry a godly man. And if you're a man, you need to marry a godly woman. Somebody that loves the Lord. If they're backslidden, don't marry them. Because you'll find yourself getting into trouble. We need to allow Jesus Christ to make our decisions for us. He needs to be the head. Alright? It's just some practical wisdom. Just practical wisdom. Alright? We need to invite Jesus to the marriage. Notice that they didn't have any wine. The disciples come, Jesus comes, they're at the marriage, and they run out of wine. And the mother comes up to Jesus, they have no wine. What's she saying? Jesus, how about getting us some wine? How about it? And Jesus says, what woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Jesus wasn't going to glorify himself then. He wasn't going to betray himself right then and there. His time would come. The time would come when Jesus would be glorified, but this wasn't the time. And Mary wanted Jesus to glorify himself right then and there. And many a person wanted Jesus to glorify himself before his time. But he said, mine hour is not yet come. Look, if you will, in John chapter 7. In verse 6, then Jesus said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it, that the works thereof are evil. Go ye up unto this feast. I go not up yet unto the feast, for my time is not yet full come. His time hasn't arrived yet. Look, if you will, in John chapter 8 and verse 20. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid his hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Well, when is his hour? When was the time going to come? Look, if you will, in John chapter 12, in verse 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come, that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, Him will I my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I into this hour. Father, glorify the name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And the people thereof that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. And others said, an angel spake unto him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world come. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The hour for Jesus, the hour he was going to be glorified, when he was taking the sins for the world, when he died in our place, God glorified him because he rose again. He received the glory. He brought all men unto himself. Because he died, he was going to bear much fruit because of his death. But the hour hadn't come back there in John chapter 2. It's coming in the Gospel of John. But it wasn't then. Many a time, man could have and wanted to take Jesus and kill him right then and there. But he couldn't because his hour hadn't come. And there's a certain point that his hour will come. And it came. Jesus Christ died. He rose again. God accepted his sacrifice for the sin of the world. And our time, as it says in John chapter 7, is always ready. Salvation for us is always ready. It's always ready. Anybody that will just come unto him and believe, they can have life. It's always ready for us. But if you'll notice, back here we find that Jesus didn't give him the wine right then and there. He told her, mine hour hasn't come. And his mother learned something. It's something we need to learn. In verse 5, it says, his mother said to the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. You see, his mother had come up to him boldly before. His mother had come up to him and said, we need wine. I need wine at the wedding. How about you supplying it? And Jesus said, no. Then she comes back after this experience. She says, all right, whatever he saith, that do. And my friends, we need to come to that place. Well, we don't boldly demand of God, God, you've got to do this, and you've got to do this, and you've got to do this for me. But we need to come to a place where whatever he says, that I'll be willing to do. If he says no to my prayer, I'm willing to go on. If he says no to my request, I'm willing to go on. If he tells me to go in the deepest, darkest Africa, I'm willing to go. If he tells me to stand up to my brethren, if he tells me to stand up to the lost world, we have to become to a place where, yes, I'll do whatever he says. If he just tells us to fill the water pots with water, we ought to be willing to do it. If that's all God demands of you, just to fill the water pots with water, you ought to be willing to do it. If he demands more, if he demands your very life, he demands your very actions, he demands everything of you and calls you to a foreign field, calls you to sell everything and go out for him, you ought to be willing to do it. That's the main lesson here. We need to come to a place where we're willing to do whatever he saith. Whatever he saith. Not whatever religion says. Not whatever some maniac has to say. But whatever Jesus has to say, we ought to obey it. If God says you're a guilty sinner, you ought to realize you're a guilty sinner. If God says the only hope for you is eternal in Jesus Christ, then we ought to come to Jesus Christ. If God says that Mary had other children, we ought to believe Mary had other children. If God says that salvation comes by another, we ought to believe that salvation comes by none other. We ought to be willing to do whatever he saith. After Mary learned this lesson, the Bible says there were 6 water pots of stone after the manner of purifying the Jews contained 2 or 3 firkins apiece. My estimation is of firkins is about 9 gallons, I suppose. I really don't know. I'm probably wrong. But I'm just going to say 9 gallons. So you'd have water pots that can contain about 18 to 20, 26 gallons of water. I'd say something like maybe a small rain barrel. All right? And Jesus told them to fill up these water pots. There were 6 of them. Now I want you to know that 6 is the number of man. On the 6th day, man was created. On the 6th day. In Revelation chapter 13 and verse 18, the Bible says, let me read it for you. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is a number of a man. And his number is 666. 666. So we find that throughout the scripture, the Bible says that the number of man is 6. I want you to know that these water pots were empty. They were empty. And I want you to know, my friend, you as a man are empty. You have no eternal life. You have no life dwelling in you. In fact, the Bible says you're dead. And you're without hope in this world. And unless Jesus Christ comes and fills you, you're hopeless. I mean, you might try to fill yourself with religion. You might fill your mind and yourself with different philosophies in the world, but you're hopeless. It doesn't meet the need. It doesn't satisfy. Oh, it may be temporal. You may get pleasure of sin for a season, but it's only for a season. But what God gives you is eternal. Notice what he fills the water. He tells them to fill up with. Fill the water pots with water. You know what the water is a type of? Water is a type of the Word of God. Look, if you will, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26. It says, he's talking about husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Look, if we will, in Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. It says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. Regeneration is being born again or receiving life, okay? And in 1 Peter chapter 1, the Bible says the way that we're regenerated is by the word of God. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So we notice that we're regenerated by the word of God. We're born again by the word of God. We're washed by the word of God. And water is a type of the word of God. So these people are, these empty vessels are filled with the word of God. You know, I can remember a time when somebody filled me with the word of God. They spoke salvation. They gave me the word of God, showed me that I was a sinner, showed me that Jesus Christ is the only way, and I received the word of God. And you know what? When they drew out, it was wine. Wine is a type of the Holy Spirit. Look, if you will, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. It says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. A comparison. We need to be filled with the Spirit. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 13, it says, what happened? At Pentecost, all the believers were filled with the Holy Spirit. What did they think? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. Wine and being filled with the Spirit are synonymous. They're types. Let me give you some examples. A man that is filled with wine and drunken, he suddenly becomes bold. I mean, he's ready to tear on the world. He's ready to take on the world. He'll fight anybody and everybody. And a man that's filled himself with the Spirit of God, he's bold. He's willing to stand up against any reprobate, anybody, a king, a general, a sergeant, a soldier, a murderer, and tell them they need the Lord Jesus Christ. When a person is filled with wine and drunken with wine, his mouth is running all the time. I mean, he just blabbers and blabbers and blabbers. It doesn't say much, but he just blabbers. And a person that is filled with the Holy Spirit will be, his mouth will be talking all the time, giving praise to God Almighty. A person that is filled with wine and drunk, it will affect his walk. I mean, you ever see him? And a person that is filled with the Holy Spirit of God, it will affect their walk. It will affect their walk. A person that is filled with wine and drunken is no longer in control of himself. I mean, he can't drive an automobile. He can't walk a straight line. He can't do much. He's lost control. The alcohol is taking control. A person that's filled with the Holy Spirit of God has lost control. I mean, the old flesh has no more control. God, the Holy Spirit, has the control. So I want to show you something. These empty vessels, as pictures of men, were empty. They were filled with the Word of God, and what came out? Wine of the Holy Spirit. Oh, my friend, what a picture. My friend, if you're lost here today, you are empty. I mean, you're just as dry can be. Just as dry. You need to be filled with the Word of God. And immediately, what will come out? The Spirit of God. Now, ask me to explain that. I can't. I don't know how in the world Jesus told them men to fill that thing up with water, and when they drew out, it was wine. All I know is it happened. The same thing. So for me to explain to you exactly what goes on when after I give you the Word of God and the person believes it, how the Spirit of God gets there and how it comes out, I don't know. All I know is it happens. Okay? It's a miracle. And this is the beginning of miracles. I want you to notice something about this miracle. Three ways it was taken. In verse 9, we find that the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and he knew not whence it was. There's many a man that they don't know about Jesus Christ. They don't know about the gospel. They don't know about salvation. They think that their religion's good enough. They think their old wine is good enough. They think that everything's all right. And they know not whence it is. Most of them could care less. They could care less. Notice there's another type. But the servants which drew the water knew. They knew where it was from, but they never believed it. They knew. They had a head knowledge of it. There's many a man that walks around with a head knowledge of Jesus Christ. Can tell you exactly how you need to be saved. In fact, may even win people to the Lord Jesus Christ, but he's just as lost can be. He knows all about it, but he never believes it. And then praise God, there are those like the disciples. In verse 11, the beginning of the miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and the disciples believed on him. They took the sign. They realized, yes, this is God, and they believed. My friend, you and I, we need to believe that Jesus Christ is God. We need to believe that he's our only hope and salvation. And we need to let other people know about it. You see, the servants, they had an opportunity to let the governor know, hey, Jesus did it. They had an opportunity to say, look what Jesus did. Man, that thing was just water, and when you drew out, it became wine. Look what Jesus did. There's a lot of people, a lot of Christians, they know that Jesus is capable of doing many things for them. But they don't allow Him, and they never point anybody to Jesus Christ. They never let anybody know how God had filled them with the Word, and now the Spirit of God comes out. They just sit back and never say a word, never say a thing. They know, but they don't let other people know. And I praise God that the disciples, they believed on Him. And they went on for the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to do the same thing. We need to do the same thing. Well, that was my lesson. How about that? Next week, I'm just going to stop right here because that's all I got for you. But it's an important lesson. Let me just review some things. Mary is not someone that we worship. She is an individual. Yes, she was a blessed woman. We need to hold her in respect because she is blessed. But we don't worship her. We don't pray to her. We need to realize that Mary had other children, that Jesus Christ had stepbrothers and stepsisters. We need to realize that our family and our friends are just empty vessels. I mean, they have nothing in them. They may have religion, but it's just empty. They may have philosophy, but it's just empty. They might have riches and wealth, but it's just empty. They may have many things, but until they're filled with the Word of God, there's no hope for them. And we need to fill them with the Word of God. We need to come to a place where whatsoever Jesus saith unto us, we'll do it. I mean, no matter what, if it's just filling some things with water, just letting other people know about Jesus Christ, we need to do it. And oh, praise God, the result. A miracle happens every time we give the Word of God out and somebody receives it. You know, somebody receives it and immediately when they draw the Spirit of God. So we need to take that to heart and we need to let other people know. We need to give the Word of God out. We need to fill some vessels. And then we need to be believing on the Lord. We need to trust Him under every circumstance and realize that He's a God that performs miracles. He's a God that's able and let other people know about it. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful that You're merciful. We're thankful You're a loving God. Lord, we're thankful that You're a God that can take empty vessels and fill them. Oh, Lord, we praise You for that. And we just praise You and give You glory today. In Jesus' name, amen.
What if any questions?
We got about...